We are in this amazing series, learning different disciplines that will make us spiritually fit. You all know it's important to be physically fit. So if you're running for the bus and you're late in the morning, you'll still make the bus. That's why you need to be physically fit, okay? But spiritual fitness is also important. It's important because we want to be able to defend ourselves against the attacks of the enemy, maybe. We want to go the distance. Like, you don't want to be a follower of Jesus just for the next 6 months. If you're not fit, you might last for 6 months if you try. But you have to get spiritually fit. And that's why we're learning, for example, how to have daily devotions. That was week one in January. We learned that every day we need to find a time, preferably in the morning, where we read the Bible and pray. We learned about fasting, sometimes denying ourselves. Let's face it, if you want to get physically fit, can you eat slop chips 3 times a day? No, because you're going to look like a slop chip. And that's not going to work for you, okay? So sometimes you need to say, I want that, but I'm not going to have that. I'm going to drink green tea and green grass and eat grass and not smoke grass. And then you'd be fit. So you need to give up certain things. Then I need to pray. And Margaret taught us how to pray, how to look into the Bible, how to see Jesus' prayer and see that there's an outline to pray in that in Matthew chapter 6. And basically, it's just like what Anna did. She called out. Did you hear her there, Genevieve's daughter? She spontaneously just called out. And that's when, as children, we call out to God. So let Anna be your example for the whole rest of this week, that you need to call out to God. Don't be a silent Christian. God wants to do stuff for you, but if you don't call out, mother doesn't know that something's going on with the kid, right? Then worship. Last week, Tabile taught us about an encounter with God where we see God, we see ourselves, we see others, and we learned what that was all about. But today is all about Scripture. Now, of course, Scripture's been a part of everything, but I want to deal with today the Bible and why it's so important and how you can get into it. So at your tables, each of you are going to get a chance to share the answer to that question. In what way has the Bible impacted your life? This might be one of the toughest questions you've ever answered, and initially you might be unsure, but I hope as you begin to think, how has the Bible, the Word of God, impacted my life? Go. So, how many of you had something to share an answer to that, that the Bible had impacted your life in some way? How many of you? So 3 of us. I don't see any hands. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many of you are yet to have the Bible impact their life? Okay. If the Bible had never been given, if we didn't have it, would that have made any difference to us, to the world? I wonder. Have you ever thought about that? We wouldn't be here. Would we? Would we be doing this? No. I overheard somebody else say, the Bible has shaped who I am. It's huge. But how many of you know that for studying, that's not the best strategy? To lie on top of your textbooks, or you go to sleep and you put it under your pillow and then you sleep, headphones, listening to the textbook, how much does that work? I think the science says it. Good luck. You're not going to get an A for that subject. I'm just saying. Hashtag. It works for Bongi. She's aiming to get 50 this term. So, so yes, the science is still out on whether or not that's valid. But I want to suggest to you that this book, unopened on the shelf, is just gathering dust. That's all it's doing. It won't even the evil spirits won't keep away just because you've got a Bible in the house. I'm serious. It's not the Bible, the pages, the book, the binding, because most Bibles, this is my really old one, have to be rebound, covered. This is like 30 plus years old. This has seen me being shot at and nearly killed. Okay, it didn't like defend the bullet, because that doesn't work with an AK-47. It go right through you and 3 people behind you, so that's not really good. But this Bible sustained me in times of dark valleys, dark challenges, but only because I opened it and read it. So how do we get into God's Word? And you know we're big on the how here at Youth. We don't just tell you on a Sunday how you should do something. We say how. Step number one to get in God's Word is to buy a mouse. Not a computer mouse, a real mouse. And you stand the mouse on the open Word. Okay? And the mouse looks at... No, it's not the mouse, is it? You have to read the Bible. I'm sorry, people. There's no other way. You know what I mean? Some of you are readers. How many of you are naturally readers? It's not everyone. How many are not natural readers? Look at this. Yo, 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 yo. That's a lot of people, right? And some of you are going to have to discipline yourselves and say, you know what? I'm starting to realize that my life will be different. I promise you, you walk into an interview one day and you are well-read. And the person next to you in that interview is not well-read. Guess who's going to get the job? I guarantee you, the person who's well-read. Why? Because you're going to be able to engage in that interview in a way that the person who's not read just simply will be left out and struggling. So read. Read a psalm. Read a gospel. Read one of the letters. Read the Gospel of Mark. It's the greatest gospel ever written. John, not so much. When I wrote my Gospel of Mark, Matthew was writing one at the same time because I'm that old. Luke was writing one. You remember John, my other friend, was writing one. I wrote just 16 chapters for you. Matthew, 28 chapters. Read my gospel. My gospel, I gave it to you in 16 chapters. The whole story of Jesus in one book. And it's my eyewitness account. I saw Jesus walking, turning those loaves. I mean, it was a hot day. The people were tired and thirsty. I turned that bread into water. The one day I even took water and made it wine. What? You don't think it was me? Yeah, okay. I'm not that old, okay? I'm not that old. But open it and read it. Secondly, reflect. Have you ever read a section of something and then you... Oh, what did I just read? You were thinking about something else, Valentine's. Did I buy her the flowers? Was she happy? And then you've forgotten what you're doing. Read, pause, like rugby. Touch, pause, engage. By then, the guys have all forgotten what they're doing because they're not very bright, the people in the scrum. They're like, what were we doing? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're playing rugby. And then a ball appears. You know what I mean? Pause. Don't just read and then fall asleep. Maybe sit up. If you're lying upside down, that's not going to help. And then apply. So read, reflect, and apply. Use glasses. No, you don't have to use glasses, okay? Read the passage and dig. And this is what you're going to learn today. We've done this a few years back. Some of you who are hardened are going to know the answer to this. You read and you ask whether there is a number of things. The first thing, is there sin that I need to avoid? Is there in this chapter that I'm reading, not a whole chapter, but a little bit, is there a sin to avoid? Secondly, is there a promise to claim? Okay. Is there something that God has said, if you do this, you get this. Okay, I'm just going to wait until you've got that. If you can just turn it upside down, because I've lost all your attention. Just grab it. And you can follow through if you want. On the top right-hand side there, that page, you'll see on the top right, there's like a paragraph. So you'll remember this. That's really awesome. So the first thing you look for, I would suggest reading the passage once, and on the first time through, you simply look for the sin to avoid. Secondly, read it again and look for a promise that you can claim. If you do this, this will happen. It's like your guardian or your parent or your mom is saying, if you wash the dishes, I'll give you 50 rand. Cash, mula, money. What do? You wash the dishes. Why? Because you're going to get the reward. So there's a promise. And you go back to your mother, Mom, guess what? I washed the dishes. She's now contractually bound. You could sue her in the small claims court if she doesn't give you the money. Why? Because she promised. She made a verbal contract with you. She is your mom, so you're probably going to treat her with respect and wait until she's earned the money. But there's a promise that you can claim. When God promises stuff, does God ever not follow up on his promises? Always follows up. Nice one, Peter. What about an example to follow? Is someone doing something or is something being described that I can follow? Okay? It might be something Jesus did, but it might be something someone else did. And then the best picture of the day is there a command to obey? Is there something I need to do? Okay? So what is the thing saying? Do this. Not maybe. Do this. Lastly, is there some knowledge that I can gain? Knowledge about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, knowledge about the world, knowledge about the future. What am I learning in this passage? You can see it makes the word speck. Because of that speck in your eye, got nothing to do with that. It's just speck. Speck is ham. Speck, I don't know. Speck. Remember speck is Afrikaans for ham. So if you're Afrikaans, tell your Afrikaans teacher and you'll get one mark in your exam because that's probably all you're going to get because Bongi's just learning with a book under her pillow. And she gets 80s. I'm sure she learns more than just the pillow. Round of applause for Bongi and her 80. All right, so then you stop and say, God, wow, God, this is incredible. Won't you help me to let this be part of my life? Won't you help me with this? Because this is a challenge. And lastly, go out and live that. So if the Bible says, be generous, I'm going to go and I'm going to look for a chance to share my lunch with someone. That Coke I'm going to buy myself, maybe I'm going to buy it for someone else. But I'm going to be following up what God has said. So how do I get into the Word? It's that process that's described on that handout that Precious has given us today. Read, reflect, apply, pray, and live. If you don't live, it's worthless. It's like getting a degree at WITS and then just going sitting on a desert island. Now, it's fine if your degree is in islandology and you're there to study islands. But otherwise, you need to go and enter that field and you need to go and make a difference and change the world. Okay, so you're going to work this process on Psalm chapter 1. You're going to read it once. Then you're going to pause. Touch, engage. Okay, you're just going to stop and pause. Then you're going to read it a second time. You're going to look for the first thing. Then you're going to write down one or two thoughts, at least one. Then you're going to read it again, and then you're going to look for the P, promise to claim. Then you're going to look for the E. E. Okay, then you're going to look for the C. Command. And then you're going to look for the K. The K is a problem because it's knowledge. But then Bongi knows that because she got that 80. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. It's knowledge. Everyone say knowledge? You're looking for knowledge. Okay? English is a stupid language. So you look through that, read it each time. Sometimes you might not find one of those things. There could be a passage when everyone's not reflected. But I bet you if you go deeper, am I right, Kondwani? As you go deeper in, you will find stuff. And God will speak to you. You got about 7.5 minutes and 75 nanoseconds to do this exercise. I will tell you when we're down to that 75 nanoseconds so you know when we're moving on. So how long does this take? It depends, right? Depends on the time you've got. Maybe you've got an hour in the morning. Some of you are finished. Some of you are finished a while ago. Some of you are still working. It can take as long as we allow it to take as well. I find with Scripture, it's very different to reading The Hunger Games or Twilight or Potter or some of those trilogy. That's a sevenology, whatever you call that. But it's eight now. And it's like, it's not just a book that's meant to be read and then it's like, okay, I'll never go back to it. There are narrative sections, there are stories, there are the book of Nehemiah reads like one story and the rebuilding of the wall and the restoring of God's word back to Israel at a dark time in their history. But generally the Bible is something that you read over and over and over. It's like you're digging into it. And so you can actually spend a lot of time in one passage. I would actually suggest one day in your life, do an experiment. Take one chapter, read it every day of the week, and stay in that chapter and see what you get out of it. You might one day take one verse and stay, and I can guarantee you, am I right, that by the end of that week, it's going to blow you away with what you thought you knew. You know, it's like the first time you read a book, you get that, then you get that. And anyone ever written a book, read a book twice? And did you get more out of it the second time? Like, we miss things. Sometimes watching a movie, you know, we miss some stuff and we can go deeper. And so I'm hoping that you got something out of that. Who learned something about a sin to avoid? Was there a sin to avoid in there? Anyone from this table? What sin do we need to stay away from? Did you identify in that, Sean? Yeah, in that one. What sin to avoid was there?
Like working with the wicked, like following the evil ones.
Okay, so not following the evil ones. Interesting progression. Don't walk with them, don't stand with them, and don't sit with them. Notice the progression down. Does that mean you can't go to school because there's some wicked friends there? No, but it means don't allow negative people to influence you and choose friends wisely, but be involved in leading your friends to Christ. Is there a promise to claim from this table? What promise was there that we can claim? Juanita, what's a promise?
Okay, those who delight in the law of the Lord prosper.
If you delight in the law of the Lord, Juanita, what is that? Because who wants to prosper? Put your hand up if you want to prosper. What did it say they must do?
It says that, okay, let me just read it. It says, those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night. So the person, they're like a tree by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do.
So if I read the Bible once, I'll prosper. So I must meditate on it once. Daily, day and night, okay? We need to keep on being in the Word, and it will impact us. Is there an example to follow coming to this group, Tabojo's group, Noah's group? What example does that passage have? Anyone? Ladies? What example is there? Tabojo? Meditate on the Word day and night. Can you see there can be an overlap in the example and in the promise to claim? Okay. Is there, how will I remember what's after the example? S-P-E-C. What was the C again? Command. Is there a command to obey? That group, Jesse, one of you, what was the command in that? Is there something we must do? Delight in the law of the Lord. Okay. So read the law. Get into the law, his word. Okay. Don't forget the Bible hadn't been written. They had the books of the law, the books of Moses. Okay? And so it's obviously referring to the whole word for us. And SBCK, is there knowledge? Anything new you've learned? Anyone from this table? Who learned something new that you didn't realize? Anyone? Colton, my buddy. What did you learn? What one truth was there for you? It's tough. Okay. So as you keep digging, you will find it. Okay. So don't give up. Go deeper. Look for it. I jumped you. Didn't give you enough time. For some people, it's going to take 20 minutes. I only gave you 7 minutes and a few nanoseconds. Did you find a knowledge, Mdu?
No.
Oh, you really? I think you did. What is there that we can know about God in that passage? Hey. Okay. He's still looking. He will find it. Okay? Seek and you shall find. Here's the challenge. Do it every day. Do it every day for the next week. Then do it for another week. Then do it. Read the word. Follow that outline. Don't leave that piece of paper behind. If you leave it behind, you're not going to prosper. Not because that paper is special. It's just normal A4 cut in half. But you will forget what to do with the word. Okay? So, finally, if you get into God's word, every day. Money back guarantee, here's what's going to happen. You will stay pure. How do I know that? Because all of these come out of Psalm 119. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If God's word is in me, it's going to stop me sinning. One of the first things I wrote in front of this Bible decades ago was, sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. If I sin, I'm going to want to not get into this book. But if I'm in this book and reading this book will keep me from sin. Do you believe that? Because of that, I stay pure by obeying God's word. Secondly, I will hear God. I will, you know how some people come to us as like leaders and pastors and workers and they say, I don't hear God speak. Well, were you in the word this week? I know, but I read Twilight. No, that's okay. Literature's cool and it's maybe your set book and that's okay. Not going to burn you. But I tell you what, you add a bit of this in, you will hear God. It says, oh, how I love your words. I think about them all day long. They make me wiser than my enemies because they are my constant guard. God's words. We have the author of this book speaking to us through the pages of that word. God will speak to you. Guarantee that. I know it happens. Lastly, you will understand truth. You will understand things that other people around you don't know. You will have an answer for the one who insults you because you trust God's word. I will speak about your written instructions in the presence of kings and not feel ashamed. I have this opportunity of a lifetime this week to travel to Lebohomo. Anyone know where that is? About an hour or so outside of Polokwane. And I am going to be addressing on the first day like 18 school principals from different schools, and day two, 36 school principals, and how to plan, strategize, be motivated for the year that lies ahead. Who am I to be doing that? I'm a youth worker, for heaven's sake. But I've been invited in to do this. And can I go there confident? Of course I can. Why? Because God is going to speak to me. It's almost the equivalent for me of speaking to kings. Some of you are going to speak to kings one day. You are going to have a presence and audience. Do you remember Esther? She was my great auntie. Because you remember I wrote the book of Mark. My auntie Esther, she won a beauty contest. And she got to speak to the king one day. It's like, my family's awesome. It's the family of God. She actually is my sister. She's also Precious's sister. She is. And she's also Juanita's sister. And she's Sharon's sister. Because we're sisters in Christ. I want to pray that you will get into the word and take it serious. But if you don't do it, you can try. I think Bongi's exceptional to be putting stuff under her pillow and being so good. I'm going to recommend actually reading. Try Bongi's approach, but don't do it. Because 80 is like for beginners. 90, 96, 98 is what you're aiming for, Bongi. Keep on striving. God bless. We're going to pray together. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We want to pray that as we build on this week in our spiritual fitness, that we would be disciplined to read your word. If you are waiting within those pages to speak to us, to help us be pure, to help us hear your voice, and to help us know your truth so we can speak to kings and queens. Give us wisdom and revelation this week as we get into your word, and may we be faithful and diligent. Help us to be late for dinner one day because we're so absorbed in your word. Help us, Lord God, to love your word. May it change our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I've got another sister who's actually a daughter, who for the last 21 years of her life, I've watched her growing up, and she has suffered in many ways. And who better maybe to speak about the discipline of suffering, what it can do, is Ashley. And she'll be preaching next Sunday. And so be here. It's going to be epic. God bless. Have a fantastic week.